Amando Iannucci has created some of the sharpest political satire of our time. If you think about it, he's the brains behind the classic British political comedy, The Thick of It, set in the corridors of an imagined British government department.
You are supposed to be a cabinet minister. You are supposed to be officer class. Don't do this. Don't make waves.
We can do without the ritual humiliation. You know I'm against talking up the war.
You're against talking up the war? Is that why you said climb the mountain of conflict? Do you know what you sounded like? You sounded like Nazi Julie Andrews.
That's the character of the Director of Communications, Malcolm Tucker, in the TV comedy The Thick of It, a character usually regarded to be set around Tony Blair's tough-talking former advisor, Alistair Campbell. Well, Anando Iannucci has also created the American comedy Veep, which stars former Seinfeld comedian Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Amando Iannucci is many things. He's a writer, he's a television director, he's a radio producer and an author, and he's coming to Australia for the Sydney Writers' Festival in May, but he joins us from London this morning. Amando Iannucci, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Good morning. Nice to be there.
Amando, before I come to the funny side of life, there's been a tragedy in your home city of London, this terrorism incident that's put London in a state of lockdown around the Houses of Parliament anyway there for many hours. Four people confirmed dead, including the assailant. Westminster, it's an institution you've satirised so much over the past, and I'm sure you know its corridors very well. This must come as an incredible shock. The place meant to be the most secure in the city has been breached like this.
Yes, except, I mean, I don't know what the full facts are, but I don't think it has been breached. I think the incident happened out on the bridge.
And in the courtyard, the front courtyard there.
And incident, someone ran in. I don't know the full facts myself. But the city itself isn't in lockdown. I mean, we just carry on. You know, anyone who has been through anything like this, I'm thinking about people in Paris or in New York, will just tell you it's not going to stop life from carrying on. And that's what you do. And, you know, it happened right about 4 p.m. our time, and I was taking public transport home about 5:30 p.m. You could see some of the police there, armed police, on the doorways and leading down into the underground. But you just carry on, really.
Carry on and keep laughing? Does that make it harder for the sort of work you do, which is political satire and our politics so much dominated often by themes of terrorism and inspired by the threat of terrorism, and all sorts of things happen under that shadow, don't they?
Absolutely. But also, you know, politicians, I mean, if you wanted to laugh at it, you could. I mean, one thing it does tell you, I think, is just how important being a politician is. You know, they represent, they're our choice. They're there to represent us and our views. And although we can make fun of them and we can criticize them, and that's right, you know, they are also, you know, on public show and in harm's way. And, you know, incidents like this remind us of how precarious democracy is, really, and why it's important not only that, you know, the law upholds it and protects us from it, but that we're constantly examining it. If we're examining it through journalism or through humour, then, you know, at least we're still examining it, and we're telling each other, we're trying to remind each other why it's important that, you know, freedom of opinion and expression has to be protected.
The election
no joke
of Donald.
So far.
Sorry, mate.
No joke so far.
No joke so far.
No joke so far, but
no, that's right. Sometimes it takes distance. The election of Donald Trump as the US president has led many to think about, write about, talk about the state of our democracies in developed Western democracies. You yourself have written an open letter to the US president for The Guardian in January. You describe him, quote, as real and unreal, scary yet amusing, fact and fiction rolled into one, like a little rubber Mount Rushmore blown up to actual size by the use of helium. This is the man Americans elected. You've been watching Donald Trump last few months.
Not all Americans, and not even a majority of Americans. Not even a majority of those who voted elected him, we have to remind ourselves. I think it's very tempting to think now of America as being this dark, enclosed, unwelcoming place. And that is not the America that I know and that I worked. And I found it a very welcoming place, very generous place. And I think America at the moment is going through a period of just trying to come to terms with what's happened and really trying to tell the world that it's not really like that. I think what I, in the passage you read out, what I'm trying to say is that, you know, we're full of contradictory feelings about Donald Trump. On the one hand, you do want to laugh at him. You do want to make jokes. But I do worry that if we just turn him into a joke, we kind of make him safe. And I don't think he's safe. I think he's dangerous because he's unstable. He defies the rules and he defies the law in a way. He defies truth. You know, he invents his own truth. I was saying the other day that, you know, in comedy, a joke is an exaggeration. It's an absurdity. In a sense, it's a kind of deliberate lie. You know, the punchline is like a lie, really. And the problem we have as comedians talking about Trump is that he is doing all that. He's doing that comedy. You know, he's stretching the truth and he's telling the lies. And it's doing the comedian's jobs for us, really.
Yeah, though, of course, some are taking it on, Saturday Night Live, infamous, famous now, however you want to say it, for its portrayal or its takedown of the Trump administration, the president and those around him. And a lot of people are laughing at it. The president is railing at it. They're managing to joke about it. But we spoke to Australian comedian Tim Minchin. I'm not sure if you know Tim. Recently, he lives in the States now, of course. And he was saying that there was some thought that perhaps the Saturday Night Live version of Donald Trump may have helped get the president elected because, in a sense, it made him feel safe. They were laughing at him and it made him sort of put him in people's houses in that kind of ambience every week. What do you think?
Well, I think there's an element of that. It's what I'm saying. If you turn him into just a caricature isn't dangerous. It feels tame. It feels you've got it under control. What's interesting are the comedians who are going the opposite way and becoming more like journalists. I'm thinking of like John Oliver on his HBO show. Even some of the late night chat shows like Seth Meyers are doing very, very analytical stuff. It's almost like Donald Trump is the joke, so the comedians have to kind of act like the straight man in doing the serious bit of researching, going past through the archives, seeing how he's contradicted something he said 2 years ago, 4 years ago, doing a real bit of factual analysis, you know, and then adding the jokes to it. So it's interesting that switch, I think. If Donald Trump is challenging news and berating news organizations, then the real news has to be done. There's then a vacuum that I think certain comedians are starting to fill.
You've been experimenting with ways to deal with it. You've been watching Donald Trump over the last couple of months, I noticed, and generating tweets. You've taken to Twitter, as has the president, some of them are pretty funny. But you, in a way, you're playing on the president's tone too. What are you trying to do here?
Well, every time you tweet something, I sort of retweet it at the moment, I've just finished doing a film about Stalin, called The Death of Stalin, and it did remind me, a lot of his tweets do remind me of the bulletins that the Stalinists and the communists used to put out in the 50s and 60s about, you know, grain production is up 5% and harvesting is up 29%. His tweets are all about these positives that he's been doing, about how he's done the most of any president in the first 50 days. So I just rewrite them as if they were Soviet bloc communist bulletins. And the other thing I do is, because he's so much into being macho and criticizing others and for being weak, that actually whenever he puts out a tweet, I analyze the language in it that displays how weak he is, because it's a terribly weak person whose first port of call is to criticize someone else and to blame others and not himself.
Armando, before I let you go, we're almost out of time, but I must ask you about Veep because so many people in this country love it. In fact, bizarrely, our Prime Minister in the last election campaign seemed to make reference to it with his theme of continuity and change, which made a lot of people laugh. But what I've wanted to ask you is that Veep is largely written by a team of British men, yet it's about a female American vice president. How did you get the tone right?
Do a lot of research. Go out there, speak to people. They were very, as I said, it's a very welcoming country. They let us in. They let us wander around the White House. the Oval Office, the Vice President's office, and they're happy to talk. We said, I said, look, I want to get it right. I'm not doing, you know, it's not a show about scandals. I asked them the dull stuff. What time do you get in the morning? What time do you go home? What are the offices like that you work in? And as they open up about that, then you get the real sense of the personalities. You know, you just it's not that hard. You just look around and ask questions and talk to the right people and just get a real sense of what a day in their life must be like. And then you exaggerate and you make it up. And you just distort and you come up with the most stupid stories ever. And then someone afterwards, when it goes out, will ring you up from the government and say, how on earth did you find that out? We thought we kept that quiet.
I love it. Amanda Iannucci, thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure. Thank you very much.
Amanda Iannucci, showrunner, writer, TV director, radio producer, probably best known for Veep, as we were just discussing, and The Thick of It. And he's going to be here in May appearing at the Sydney Writers' Festival and also the Wheeler Centre in Melbourne. So if you're in Sydney or Melbourne, you can probably get a chance to see him if you're quick. His latest film, The Death of Stalin, is due out later this year. It's 8:28 on Breakfast.